Good morning. Pastor Sean has asked me to give you an update on my ministry with Life Training Institute, so I'm going to take a few minutes here to do that. If you are visiting or if you're newer to the Aletheia family, my name is Mike Spencer, and I serve on the teaching staff of a ministry called Life Training Institute. We are a pro-life apologetics ministry, so we do a lot of work on high school, university campuses, in churches, workshops, conferences, banquets, all kinds of kind of a smattering of things. In short, what we do through Life Training Institute is we equip pro-life ambassadors to speak intelligently and to speak graciously to the polarizing, divisive issue of abortion. And most of you, I know, are familiar with our work and you've been exposed to it, but for the sake of those of you who are not, that's kind of what we do. So we focus on really two things, giving solid, rational arguments and delivering those in a way that is gracious and kind. As I've said many times before, but it bears repeating, I and Barbara and I together are very grateful for this church and for the support that you give to us financially, but even beyond that, the prayerful and just the moral support that you have given. So we want to thank you again for that. Just a few slides here that I'm going to show, I think. I'm good? Okay, there we go. So one of the things we spend a lot of time doing is speaking in high schools. We're trying to get to high school students before they get off to universities where their Christian worldview and their pro-life view will be, will come under attack. And so we really want to inoculate them with truth. So we do a lot of work in high schools. These are just a couple of photos, some of the school settings that I've been in here. Typically what I'll do is, often what I'll do is an assembly. So a school will have me in, I'll do an assembly. Usually that's first thing in the morning, 8:30 in the morning. I'll have maybe 45 minutes or an hour to present kind of an assembly talk. And then oftentimes what I'll do is I'll be in classrooms for the rest of the day where I can field questions like during a Q&A time. So here's a classroom setting photo. And that's really nice. If I don't get the classroom settings, I'll do a Q&A during the assembly. But then I usually can only do like a little short 10-minute thing. If I get the classrooms, I have a 40-minute block of time generally where I can really interact with the students. That's really sweet. I always enjoy that a lot. I will be speaking to about 300 high school students at Trinity Catholic Church in Coldwater in December. So I'm looking forward to that. Here's a couple more photos here. I don't know why this is not advancing. You want to just go ahead and advance those for me, would you, Fletch? I've just got a few photos. One more. Okay, let me transition to that then for a few minutes here. So recently I've had opportunities. We don't normally, up to the last couple of years, we've done very little work in the northwestern states. But the last couple of years I've been there quite a bit. And I did here in October, November, spend some time in Washington, Oregon, and Idaho. And that was really great because, again, we're getting the schools there that we have never been into, at least most of those schools we've never been into before, so that was great. Also, as I mentioned, several banquets and stuff this fall, that kind of thing. Typically, if I do a banquet, I'll get a pastor's breakfast the next morning, which is great. And so that gives me an opportunity to address pastors and to help them see what their role is, to kind of bring a biblical teaching to them on what their role is as pastors on the issue of abortion. On an encouraging note, the discouraging part, as you know, is the overwhelming majority of churches in America, both Catholic, Protestant, Evangelical, are absolutely silent when it comes to abortion. Most of those churches would say they're pro-life. They may even have impressive pro-life statements in their doctrinal, statements or in their constitutions. But the overwhelming majority of those churches will not speak a word to the issue from their pulpits. In other words, not only will they not condemn abortion out there, but they won't even speak up for the preborn in their own pastoral care. And so that's the negative. On a positive note, we are seeing more and more churches are waking up to the plight of the preborn and to their moms who face unplanned pregnancy. So that's been encouraging. This photo up here is a photo of Serbia. I had a really exciting opportunity in October to go to Serbia to speak at a conference there for Eastern European countries that were coming together for training. These were mostly pregnancy care center directors and their staff, but there were also a few maternity home directors and their staff there. This was just a fantastic experience. I'll share a little bit more about that in a minute. Let's go to the next photo if we can, Fletch. This is a photo that photo there was taken. This is a picture of Jesus, a painting of Jesus that appears on the ceiling of the Royal Chapel in Belgrade. And this is a chapel that is now, property there, it's huge property there, is now lived in and cared for by the royal family of Serbia. But during the communist era, the communists had taken this building over, and it's these buildings, very impressive. And you can, if you look closely at that photo, you'll see a bullet hole in Jesus' forehead. That was put there, that was shot through by a communist when they took over the building. And then when communism fell there, they and now the royal family has it, they've decided to keep the bullet hole in Jesus' head as a reminder of the communist hatred for Christ. And when I saw that, I thought of Psalm chapter 2, verses 2 and 4, or 2 through 4, that says, "The kings of the earth rise up and the rulers band together against the Lord's anointed. But the one enthroned in heaven laughs. The Lord scoffs at them." And I just thought how sweet it is that we've seen the fall of communism there. And while the family that's taken over are not necessarily Christians, to see that Christian work continues on in Eastern Europe. So that was great. The next picture here is a picture of the host family. Vesna is the woman there to the left in the black, the dark hair. That's her husband, Anasha, and her three children and her mother above her there. This woman is a modern day Amy Carmichael. I mean, she is fantastic. She and her husband are on fire for the gospel. He's a pastor of a church. About 12 years ago, I think it was actually about 12 years ago, they had no pregnancy care center in the entire country of Serbia. And Vesna, through a conference that she went to, was exposed to pro-life ministry and to pregnancy care centers, didn't even know these existed. And so after several years of working alone and kind of working the soil there, she opened the first pregnancy care center in Serbia. The week that I was there in October, they were opening the second center in Serbia. They just opened the second center. But this woman is absolutely phenomenal. They were my host family. Vesna was the one that brought me there to provide the training. Now, this is hard to believe, but this is true. In Serbia, they have 150,000 abortions a year. Now, that doesn't sound like a lot by American standards, where we have about a million. But in get this, in Serbia, 150,000 abortions and only 65,000 actual births. That's how dangerous it is in the womb in Serbia for an unborn child. So you see the need. The other thing that was really, just really sweet about working with Vesna is Vesna really has a passion for the gospel. So does her husband. He's a church planter. He actually said to me, Saturday we're driving from Belgrade to Novi Sad, where they live, which was just an hour and a half or so, not even. And as we're driving there, we're talking about his ministry. He's a church planter. This is, I think, the second or third church that he's planted. And I made some comment about him being a pastor. He said, "Well, I'm actually not a pastor." He said, "We don't have enough pastors here, so I'm doing this work, but it's not my thing. By the way, would you like to preach tomorrow?" I said, "Sure." So it was just really sweet. But it moved me deeply that here was a man who, this isn't even really his calling, is to pastor churches. But he feels so deeply about the gospel that he's been spending the last 15 years of his life planting churches in Eastern Europe. So that was just really powerful. The next photo here is a photo of some of the directors, not quite half of the directors that had come together for this conference, but these are several of the women and a couple of men there who are leading centers in Bosnia, Croatia, Macedonia, Malta, Italy, Germany, all over that had come together for this. The thing that was so touching about it was just how deeply grateful they were for the ministry that we were providing them. These women and some men are really ministering almost completely alone. They are in their countries, in their respective communities, with virtually no support, if any, from their local churches. In fact, several of them told me that if it were not for American churches investing in them financially, they would have to close their doors. One more quick thing, and just a couple more quick photos, and I'll bring this to close. One of the things that also struck me about the Ministry of Pregnancy Care Center work in Eastern European countries is that every unplanned pregnancy, what we would often refer to here as a crisis pregnancy, every crisis pregnancy there is a crisis, not only for the young woman or the young couple who are facing an unplanned pregnancy, but it's also a crisis for the center. And the reason is because they don't have the resources that we have, but also because they have welfare there, but it's a woman, a single mom on welfare there is going to starve to death, literally. I mean, she will not be able to feed herself or her child. So when they counsel a woman out of an abortion, they now have to take that woman on financially. They have to find housing for her. They have to find a way to get the bills paid. It becomes an enormous task in most of these countries. So it was just really heart-wrenching to see the humility, the gratitude, and the determination that these people are ministering with there. This next photo is a photo of a couple actually from Canada, and they are ministering in Romania. They've been there for, I think, about 13 or 14 years. And he has built this incredible, and I mean physically built, this incredible maternity home for young moms there. And they are working in concert with pregnancy care centers because, again, they need housing for these women. And just a quick plug, if you are 18 years or older, man or woman, but preferably women, if you're 18 or older and you want a summer project, a summer ministry, or longer, they are pleading with Christians from America to come and help minister to the young moms and their babies there. So if that interests you, see me, and I would love to connect you to them. This last photo is a photo that was taken just after I got to preach in Novi Sad. You can't see all of the church, although that was most of them. It was a small church. But that's the church that Nasha, Vesna's husband, is pastoring in Novi Sad. This was so sweet. Forgive me. These people are so broken for the gospel, so passionate. And they have nothing. I mean, they're absolutely just impoverished. Maybe not quite like African countries or some African countries, but the sweetness there that they have in their worship and in their fellowship with one another. I'm crying now. I couldn't talk about it with Barbara for 2 days when I came home because it moved me so deeply. But if anyone wants a trip to Serbia or Eastern Europe, and you want to stay there for any length of time, there are all kinds of ministries and countries there that would love to have you. So please see me if you're interested. The last thing I'll just share is this. Anyway, I'll say this. My fall has been just the best time in 6-plus years of working for LTI that I've had. I've had more speaking opportunities. I've gotten to more audiences. But this particular experience in Serbia was just life-changing. It was just powerful. We have a new website at Life Training Institute, if you haven't seen it. Our website used to look, people used to go to the LTI website and think, oh, I didn't know they had the internet back in the 50s. It was so poorly designed, but it's really good now. And so we've got a new website. There are two websites there. Mine is Pro-Life Mike. Some of you may not know that for several years I've had my own website with blog posts there, articles, several of my talks are videotaped there. The videos are there. So if you're interested in that kind of thing, you can check that out, but both of those websites would be good sources for you. The last thing is, I have, if you have an interest in getting my bi-monthly newsletter, I send it out every other month, electronically. Many of you are already getting that. If you were getting it and you're not getting it anymore, it's because I assume your email has changed. But if you're not getting it for whatever reason, if you fill this out with legible handwriting, I will put you on the mailing list. I won't ask for money. I never do that. It's not that kind of thing. It's just to fill you in on what I'm doing and articles, things that might be helpful to you. Okay. So Jonas, would you take this one and pass that way? Anyway, thank you again. We're very blessed by this church. And as I've said to you before, few pro-lifers, most pro-lifers have to raise their own support. Very few of those pro-lifers, and I know this for a fact, have a local church standing behind them. And so I'm very grateful for that. So thank you very much.